Good morning, men.
Good morning.
It's a blessing to be here. I know some that maybe I used to take for granted, but I'm trying to encourage you, let's not take for granted. This is a beautiful thing we have here, you know? Let's pray before we start, okay? God, I just ask now that you would guide us, that whatever's communicated here, whatever lands in our hearts will be from you, so we might better know how to meditate on the precious word that you have given us. Without it, we would be lost. So I ask you to bless our time now, Father. Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. And the topic today is meditating on our memory verses. And excuse me, I jumped at the chance to share some thoughts on this topic when I saw it, because I learned from experience, all right, the power of meditating on God's word to change a person, to change me from the inside out. As I've shared sometimes before, see, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was really struggling with some anxieties and fears. It was serious. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep without some sort of medication. Also went almost went on medication during the daytime too. I felt like I was losing my mind at times. All right, the anxiety was so out of control. Until I went to the scriptures and started meditating on specific verses, not big passages of scripture, but specific verses or short passages that address that. And as I meditated on them, they started to sink into my mind and change my mind. All right, and I was being changed. I was being transformed by the renewing of my mind. All right, I've lived that. It was incredible. And now anytime I talk to anybody about anything they might be facing, dealing with, struggling with, I encourage them to meditate on Scripture. Really meditate on it, all right? And I know they'll see change. So as I was trying to decide what passage of Scripture to share with you, I thought this. You know, our memory verses are Scripture, right? So we should approach our verses just like we do Scripture in general. So I wanted to share a passage with you that shows us how we're to approach Scripture, how to value it, what to do with it, and we'll see the impact that it can have on people, all right? So my hope is that you'll take the same approach to your memory verses, and that ultimately you'll experience a similar impact in your life. And by the way, I'm not just talking about the verses here on the board, but any verse, all right, any verse in the Bible. If you understand how to approach it, it can and will change you. All right, so Nehemiah, not going to give too much background real quick, secondary to time, but suffice it to say that Jerusalem had been destroyed in God's judgment, right? The Jews had been taken away captives to Babylon, but God was allowing them to come home, all right, for the first time in quite some time. And in chapters 1 through 7, they've started to rebuild their city by building the wall. And as we come to chapter 8, they just completed the wall in 52 days, and the first thing that the people want is the word of God, all right? Maybe they were realizing how far they'd strayed. Maybe they didn't want to go back to how they were before. So they wanted to hear from God, all right? So for our outline, we're going to talk about, we'll see here, six facets of Scripture meditation, all right? First one, let's look at verse 1. Number 1 is the author. The author, verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Notice, they asked for the book of the law. Or they asked for Scripture. Now, where did the Scripture come from? Did it come from Ezra? Did it come from Moses? What does it say? Which the Lord had given to Israel. Bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Literally, it's which the Lord said to Israel, or which the Lord charged to Israel. It's a Hebrew word, tzava. So, brothers, you know, it's most appropriate to start off with this truth. These verses right here, all right, those are words that God has given to us. Words that God has said to us. Words that God has charged to us. Let's take a step back. Let that sink in a little bit, okay? We can have some levity and laugh a little bit as we stumble through the verses. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with that, you know? It's okay. But amidst all that, let it not get lost that these are God's words to us. All right? These aren't just a list of words to memorize like in school, right? Where if we memorize them all, our teacher gives us a sticker and a pizza party, right? And it stops there. These are God's words. So don't let it be your goal just to memorize them. Don't think that you've accomplished something just because you've memorized them and can recite them on a Friday morning. All right? You're not done yet. You're not supposed to stop there. These verses are supposed to change us, right? We're supposed to obey them. Yes? Let me ask you, are you perfectly doing what each of these verses says to do? Okay. So then you've still got some work to do with these verses, right? Or better yet, these verses got some work still to do on you. And Scripture works on you as you meditate on it. We're going to get into the how-to a little bit later on. All right, but just think about that. Listen, do I need to hear from Moses? Do I need to hear from Ezra? Not really. I need to hear from who? From God. Just like the Jews here who'd been disobedient, I've been disobedient, so I need to hear from God. Yes? And so do you. In our verses, he is speaking. And that should drive us to meditate and spend time on our verses. Think through them. Chew on them. Pour over every word. Because every word is from God. To know what he has to say to me. All right? And listen, do I do this because I'm so holy? I do this precisely because I'm not so holy. Right? But I need to be holy. Get that? It's because I need it. It's not because I'm already there. I need to hear from God. And praise God, he's spoken right here in our verses. All right? So the first key to getting the most out of your verses is just recognize the author. All right? Number two is the audience. Look at verse 2. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Notice who the scripture was for. Men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. If men are listed separately, and then women are listed separately, who's left? Children. Yeah, it must be children. You see, so our memory verses are indeed for us, but also for everyone, anyone. Okay? What we'll learn about our verses today, I want you to know, you can apply this to your kids also. All right? And if to our kids, then we have no excuse. Right? We don't need to be a genius scholar to be able to study a verse and let it transform you. By the way, this also hints at the purpose of the scripture, that it's to be understood, right? God has spoken, and he's spoken in a way that can be understood. We can understand scripture, okay? You just got to put in some work sometimes, all right? So we got no excuses, brothers. Even kids can understand it, all right? Number three, the attention. Look at verse 3. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra read, it says, from early morning. Literally, in the Hebrew, it's the illumination. So some translate this as daybreak, sunrise. All right? Regardless, it was several hours. Several hours. All right? Sometimes we start fidgeting when the passage on Sunday morning is a little too long or something. Right? This is several hours. And notice, all the people were attentive to the book, it says. So, brothers, God deserves our time. But not just that, we need to give it time if we expect to really get much out of God's word. And I'm just telling you from experience, to get the most out of your verses, whatever verse you might be working on, you need to give it time. Just think about it. You need time just to memorize it, right? You need time just to understand it. You need time to understand it better as you start to see things that you didn't see the first time, right? Anyone experience that? Yes, you go back and you see something like, wow, I didn't realize that. How did I miss that, right? Even just finding a single word that you sort of glossed over before. You need time to let the truth sink into your mind and to let it change your mind, change your thinking, change your affections and your desires. It just takes time, but you have to put in that time. All right, I'm telling you from experience, if all we do is recite a verse once a week at a Friday breakfast, you will not get much out of it. If you want to see any given part of Scripture transform you, you got to give it time. Listen, a few years back when I was dealing with all that that stuff, that anxiety stuff, I started studying God's Word on anxieties and fears, and I was spending a few hours a night after work on that, studying different verses on it, studying books that explain the verses, listening to sermons that explain the verses. All right? For months I was doing this. Not because, again, I was so holy, but because I knew I couldn't stay like that. I didn't want to stay like that. I put the time in, and it started sinking in. I'll share with you a little bit, again, later how I like to do it. I like to just kind of write verses on index cards and carry them around with me. Usually, I'll just do one at a time. And I've kept these. These are from that time, back then. All right? And look at all that, okay? This is what I was doing, both sides. And I kind of kept them to remind me of how we have to put in that work and how it changed me. You know, just kind of looking back, it's almost like looking at a trial, so to speak, and seeing how God brought you out of it. Mm-hmm. The point is, this took time. This took time. I didn't know it then that that's sort of how I had to do it. I just knew I need God's word, and I had to keep going back at it. So it started sinking in eventually, and I started to realize, you know, I don't have to be anxious about this. I don't have to fear this. From the depths of where I was, and I was pretty low, the word of God started lifting me out of that. All right? To heights that I'm better now than before then. All right? But I had to put the time into the word. So the same, and by the way, the same has helped me with fighting lust. The same is helping me now with anger and controlling my tongue. That's kind of what I'm trying to work on now. But again, the key is you got to put in the time. All right, number four, the authority. Look at verses 4-6. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand. And Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. So Ezra was standing above all the people. Why? Because he was so special? No, what was he doing? Why? Why was he standing above all the people? Because he was bringing God's words to them, right? This was on purpose. They even made a podium, a platform, it says, just for that. All right, for hearing God's word. They wanted God's word to be over everyone. And notice their reaction when he opened the book. What did they do? They stood up. What sort of people do we stand up for when they walk in? Those in authority, right? Those we humble ourselves under, those with power, right? They stood up when God's word was open. And this is how we should view God's word, too, as something that carries authority. And really, the ultimate authority, the highest authority, right? And it's similar to point one. Remember the source of Scripture, the author of it. When it comes to God's word and our memory verses, brothers, let its authority compel you to meditate on it. All right? It's calling you. God has spoken. We ought to listen, right? He shouldn't be begging us to listen to him. We should be begging him. God, speak to us, right? So if you don't have some verses you're meditating on, find one. Find several. All right? And here's a good list to start with. Again, don't just memorize it. You got to meditate on it. See, we don't spend time meditating on and memorizing God's word because we just don't think that highly of it much of the time. We might say we do, but our actions say otherwise. If we took a theology test, you'd answer the bibliology questions perfectly. Right? But our actions say TV, internet, Facebook, sleep are bigger authorities in our lives. So we offer them our time, our attention, our energy. Yes or no?
Yes.
So let me challenge you to humble yourself under the authority of God's word. Place yourself under it. Get into it. Get under it. Under some memory verses and learn from them. All right? God has spoken. We ought to listen. It's like, you know, it's funny. The times I feel the most offended with my kids, just sort of instinctively, is when they just will disregard what I have to say. Mm-hmm. Like I say something and it's like, I'm not even listening to you. Right? Yeah. Instinctively, I just feel offended. I'm like, I'm your father. I'm the authority. I'm your head here. How dare you just not even just totally disregard what I have to say? Wow. What do we got right here? What do we got right here? Yeah? I'll give them 10 minutes a day. Come on. Right? I'm talking to myself here. Number five. I'm calling this the amen. I had to keep all A's here. All right, the amen. Look at verse 6. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let me ask you, do you have trouble being stirred up? I know I did for a while. Feel a little spiritually dry? I know I did. You lost some zeal? It may be because you're not meditating on God's word. You spend time meditating on God's word. If you let it sink in and work on you, this is the reaction. Lifting hands. Amen. Yes, that's right. Yes, Lord. You bow down. It will make you worship. Listen, it's been said, and this is right, that Christianity is first something that affects your mind. It's first something that affects the mind. And it changes your thinking and what you think is true and what you think is right, what you used to value what you value now. And that drives your affections and it transforms you outwardly. Look ahead. Look at verse 9, at the very end of verse 9. It says, all the people were weeping. You see that? All the people were weeping when what? What does it say? Someone read it for me. Huh? When they heard the words of the law. That is what drove their affections. Look at verse 12. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival. Why? Somebody read it. Because what? Because they understood the words which had been made known to them. What moved them? In verse 6, verse 9, and verse 12, it was the word of God. See, it started in their minds. Okay, so do you want to be transformed? Start, as Romans 12 says, with renewing your mind. Spend time on specific verses that you need. All right? That you need. All right? See what's in the verse. Study it. Let it change your thinking. Again, listen, did they start off praising God? No. They started by listening to and understanding God's word. See? And then it affected them. By the way, this should also be on Sunday morning. Right? It's a little on the side. Come on. You know, let's get a little revved up in there when Pastor Lee is preaching the sermon or whoever is. Yeah? Let's hear some amens. Let's lift up our hands. You know, he already stepped out, but it shouldn't be just Brother Sean saying, preach it. Right? We should all be saying stuff like that. Yes or no? Come on, let's get revved up a little bit in there. This is God's word we're hearing. Yes, even right here. Come on. Out there, God's word is being preached. You know, let it sink in. And if it's affecting you, let it out. Why not? Come on. Let's do it. Let's raise some hands.
Pastor Kirby preaching this Sunday, because I thought I'd be kind of in the clouds.
Okay. All right. Well, verse 6. Last one. Look at the action. Verse 7 and 8. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maasai, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, listen to this, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. All right, this is now getting into the nitty-gritty of meditating on our verses, the how-to. All right. First, you just memorize the verse. It's not a memory verse if it's not in your memory. Yeah. You got to know it. You just got to know the words, right, that are in there. Second, like it says here, you have to understand it. You have to understand the sense of it. You have to know what does it mean. All right. Fine. Well, how do I do that? You got to read it. Then read it again. And after you're done doing that, what should you do? Read it again. All right. Slowly, underline certain words, circle certain words, highlight them, all right? Look up the original Hebrew Greek words. You know, if you have no resources for that, you can get that online free. I use one called eSword. You just download eSword.net. You can download it for free and get all the Hebrew Greek words, commentaries, all of that. And then as you have that knowledge then, go back and read it again. By the way, if you do that, do you see how you can easily have devotional time that's much more than 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? Yes? There's no reason why we should struggle to have more than like 10 minutes in the Word, right? And then third, once you've understood it and explained the verse to yourself, then sit on it. Think about it. Chew on what now is in your head, okay? Chew on it. Give it time. Humble yourself under its authority. Remember that that is God speaking to you. All the things we just talked about, you know, numbers 1 through 5 before this. Again, I like to keep index cards in my pocket. And so right now, these are ones that I got on anger. Okay? Because I'm tired of being angry at home, especially like with my wife or my kids. I don't like yelling. Okay? I don't like certain words that come out of my mouth sometimes. That's wrong. I don't want to be like that. I need God's word to change me. Again, I'm not doing this because I'm so holy, but because I need to be. Got it? So what I like to do is, for example, here's a good one. One example, Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So what I did first is I wrote that out, and then I underlined, for example, going through it probably maybe the third or fourth time, the word ponders, and I looked that up. It ponders can be translated studies or meditates or mutters. And then I was going through the second half, and it said, oh, the wicked pours out evil things. So I looked up pours out, and that can also be translated gushes out, belches out, utters abundantly. So then I was just thinking, you know, and then I wrote to myself this. I said, the righteous keeps things in his heart and sorts it out there first. He studies it. He thinks about it. How should I answer? What should I say? The wicked, though, just lets his mouth gush out things. You see? And I just go back and I just keep it in my pocket. Even if I'm not on purpose, I'm reaching for something else or reaching for my keys. Oh, my verses are there. I'll pull them out. Got a few minutes standing in line at work or wherever, at the grocery store. Think about it. You can read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Okay, that's my strategy. But that's how I'm chewing on it. But after I've memorized it, after I've studied it. All right? Again, thinking about it. And also praying about it. You know, God, help me be like this. Another verse I'm working on right now is Ephesians 4:29, where it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. So then I looked up unwholesome, and that can be translated corrupting. And that kind of impact, like, I don't want to say corrupting things to my family or anyone. But it says, but only such a word as is good for edification. So then I circled the word only. Ah, okay, that's the only thing that should be coming out of my mouth, you know? And there are times, by the way, when all I could say was the first phrase to myself, when I'm particularly stressed at home or whatever, no unwholesome word, no unwholesome word, no, you know, the kids are there screaming, it's no unwholesome word, no unwholesome word, right? And sometimes I've been able to graduate from that to the next one, but only such a word is good for edification. Okay, all right, what can I say that will build up? What can I say that would edify my family right now, you know? And then, like last week, I sort of made the mistake of thinking that I made it. And then I decided to say something edifying to Charisse, except it was 11:30 at night and she was tired and exhausted. And then I realized, oh, the next part says, according to the need of the moment. All right? Yes. It just, you might have the right words, and they were the right words, but it wasn't the right time. Yeah? And the last part, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And I study that. Say, wait, so that means it's a cause that leads you into the purpose of things or the result. The result is that it will give grace to them. I need to be speaking in the way that I give grace to my family. You see that? You're putting in time. You're working through it as you're understanding it, and then you let it work on you and can better then apply it. So again, over time, you humble yourself and you receive it. God will answer. I'm telling you, brothers, from my own experience. Okay. So in conclusion, we need God's word, yes? We need God's word to change us, yes? For that to happen, we need to meditate on it, long and hard. So let me share an acronym with you. I think I got this from Pastor Leek some time ago. MUSE, is that, yeah? Okay. M, memorize. U, understand. S, speak. And E, experience. I think that's how it is. Again, it's sort of like what we saw here. You memorize it, just got to know the words. Understand it, study it, know what it means. S, speak it. So like speak it to yourself, mutter it, chew on it, think about it, let it settle in. And then eventually you will experience that, the truth of that. All right, so as far as some discussion questions, if we have some time for that, you can either discuss these six aspects of scripture meditation that we talked about in Nehemiah 8, author, audience, attention, authority, amen, and action. Or discuss this MUSE acronym, memorize, understand, speak, and experience. Okay, and then lastly, I would just say, I'd commit each of you, meditate on one verse that you need in your life specifically. Okay, you've memorized plenty, but now you need to meditate. If you're not already, you got to pick at least one of these, or pick something else. Like I said, for me, I got some other ones, but pick at least one. Walk out of here, I challenge you with at least one verse that you're going to meditate on, not just memorize, That's just the first step, but meditate on. All right? All right. Thank you.